Okay, page Yudalid, four lines from the top. The Gemara is in the middle of explaining a Braisa. What does the Braisa say? There's three opinions in the Braisa: Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yitzchak. And because the Perek was discussing, the Mishnah we were discussing, what's the din? If somebody gets Karis, do you get Malkus also or not? So Rabbi Shmuel said, even if Bezdin kills you, you get Malkus. If Bezdin kills you, it's Karis, you get Malkus. Rabbi Kiva said, no, only Averis of Karis you get Malkus, not Bezdin. Because this you could do tshuva, this you can't do tshuva. Rabbi Yitzchok is what we're discussing now. Rabbi Yitzchok's opinion was, you never get Malkus if Bezdin kills you or Hashem kills you. So it goes from extreme to extreme. Rabbi Shmuel holds, if Bezdin kills you or if Hashem kills you, you get Malkus. Rabbi Kiva says, only if Hashem kills you, you get Malkus, not if Bezdin kills you. And Rabbi Yitzchok says, you never get Malkus. Okay. Gemara asks, where does Rabbi Yitzchok learn this out from? So Rabbi Yitzchok says, four lines at the top of Yudalit, Chai v'krisis b'chlal hoyu. When the Torah spoke about the adulterous relations, the forbidden unions, forbidden relations, so the Torah says they're all chayiv karis. So v'lam ayotze karis b'chaytzei. So why does the Torah uniquely say, but if you have relations with your sister, that you get karis? L'chayda, the Torah already says that all these incestuous relations, you get karis. Why does the Torah have to say for your sister you get karis? To teach us l'dayni b'karis v'leib malkus. To teach us that you only get Karis and you don't get Malkus. What are you looking for? Yud Dalid. Six lines in the top. No, you're looking on the wrong side of the page. Yud Dalid. That side, yeah. Six lines in the top. Huh? 1 minute. No, Yud Dalid. That's, okay. To tell us that you get, so the Gemara asks, why does, this is what Rabbi Yitzchak calls, if the Torah says for all these relations you get Karis, so why does the Torah say if you live with your sister you get Karis? So it teaches us that you only get Karis, and you don't get Malkus. And therefore, there's a rule, like we say in Rabbi Shmuel every morning, Davar Shahaya Bechlal, something that was part of a rule and became an exclusion, not only does it exclude itself, it excludes everything. So Rabbi Yitzchok says the following. The fact that the Torah says that if you live with your sister, you get Karis, teaches us that you only get Karis. And from there we learn that any time you get Karis, you only get Karis and you don't get Malkus. That's what Rabbi Yitzchok says. So therefore Rabbi Yitzchok's opinion is, any time there's capital punishment, there's no Malkus. Finished. What? Okay, so now the question is, according to the Rabbanan, Karis is considered that death. But it's still death. I mean, it's not the. Now, the Rabbanan, Karis Bachesi Lamali. So now the Gemara asks, okay, but according to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, why does the Torah say you get Karis for your sister? Rabbi Yitzchak says it teaches us you only get Karis and you don't get Malkus. But they hold you do get Malkus. So why does the Torah separate the concept of your sister that you get Karis? So the Gemara answers, L'chalik, to teach us as follows. That if it, each forbidden sin is a separate Aveda, and then you need a separate Karban Chatos. I'll explain in a second. Because Rabbi Yechanan, like Rabbi Yechanan says, the Amr Rabbi Yechanan says, Shemasa Kulam Behelem Echod, if somebody did all the adulterous relations that the Torah forbids with one concealment, chayav al kol achas va'achas, you still have to bring a carbon for each one. Meaning as follows. What happens? Now obviously you can't get killed twice. I mean, Bezdin can't kill you 10 times. You get killed once, you get killed. So the question is, how many sin offerings do you have to bring? For instance, what happens if somebody desecrated Shabbos? He forgot it was Shabbos. and he did 20 malachas which are forbidden on Shabbos. Does he have to bring one chatos, or does he have to bring 20 chatos? It's a whole discussion in the Gemara by Shabbos. Here the Gemara says, what happens if somebody lived with his aunt and his sister and his sister-in-law and his mother-in-law and his mother, and he did them all. But he thought that you're allowed to. He didn't know you're not allowed to. Does he bring one carbon for all the sins? Or each one demands its own carbon? Obviously, he can't get killed 10 times. You can only get killed once if you did it intentionally. The question is, if somebody did it accidentally, in other words, it could be two possibilities of shaygig. Either he thought you're allowed to do it, he didn't know it's forbidden to live with your sister, or he thought his sister was his wife. Pretty bad mistake, but if he thinks his sister is his wife, so then it's also shaygi. So the Chachamim say as follows: why does the Torah say by living with your sister you get kares? The Torah said already you get kares, because the Torah wants to teach us a new halacha that even for one woman you would get kares, meaning every sin in particular you would have to bring a karmel chatos. So if a guy lived with his mother and mother-in-law and sister and aunt and all the forbidden things, he would have to bring 10 karbanas. Before he gets killed? No, if he did it accidentally. Say, if he did it accidentally, he wouldn't get killed. If he did it intentionally, he can only get killed once. I mean, if a guy committed 10 adulteries one shot, I mean, he's still going to get one killed. One. No, you get killed. Not only that, if he did it intentionally, but there were no warning of witnesses, you also don't bring a carbon. Because you get killed. But you don't know warning, you can't get killed. No. No, not necessarily. If you're supposed to get karis, and you didn't have any... Well, it depends. By karis, the truth is by karis, Hashem knows if you did it or not. So we learned before in the Gemara, you don't need warning for karis, right? But for Bezdin to kill you, you wouldn't have to bring a carbon either, because you weren't warned. But now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak, so now the question goes back to Rabbi Yitzchak. Because Rabbi Yitzchak said, this that the Torah specifies karis for your sister is to teach me a different din that you only get karis and you don't get malchus, right? Like we said before. So how does Rabbi Yitzchak know that if you did every sin, you need demands a separate carbon? Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel learned it out from the fact that the Torah says for your sister you get karis. But he uses that pasuk to teach me that you only get karis and not malchus. So from where does Rabbi Yitzchak learn out that if you did 10 relations forbidden accidentally, you have to bring 10 karbanis? So Gemara says, Nafkali learns it out from a different pasuk. It says in the pasuk, "Val isha benidas tumasa." If you live with a woman during a menstrual cycle before she goes to the mikveh, so if you did it intentionally, it's karis. If you did it accidentally, it's a carbon. But why does the Torah say "val isha"? The word "isha" is extra. It should have said a nida, don't live with. Why does the Torah say a woman during her nida? To teach us lechayev al kol isha veisha, that you're chayev to bring a carbon for every single woman. That means if you did it 10 times, with 10 different women, any Aveda, you need to bring 10 chatas. So now the Gemara says, V'rabbanon, so let the Rabbanon also learn it out from her, from this din of Isha. And then, the karis by your sister is extra. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elokaris da'chese lamali. Why does the Torah teach us that you get karis for your sister? The Torah already said for all the relations you get karis. Why does the Torah explicitly point out your sister? He says as follows: Lechayve alachesei, valaches aviv, valachesime. What happens if somebody had relations with his sister, his father's sister, and his mother's sister? No, it can't be one after the other. But it's not the same person. Soon the Gemara is going to come up with a doozer case that one woman is three sisters of yours. The Gemara comes up with a doozer. But meanwhile, the Gemara says to teach me that if somebody lived with three sisters, but one's his sister, one's his father's sister, and one's his mother's sister, so even though they're all sisters, so to speak, you get chayv three korbanos. So Gemara right away interrupts and says, pshit, of course, gufa mechalakim, the three different people, shemis mechalakim, three different names. One is your sister, one is your aunt, and one is your aunt. I mean, of course. So the Gemara says as follows, this is a doozer. You have a case where a woman is your sister, and she is also your father's sister, and she's your mother's sister, the same woman. You can have a case that your sister, this is a doozer case, your sister is your father's sister and your mother's sister. How do you have such a case? So Gemara says, listen to this. How do you get it? He says, Bereshia Bereshia, a Rasha, the son of a Rasha. So what does it mean? It explains very simple. A man, you got to listen to this, a guy lived with his mother, okay, and she gave birth to two daughters. I mean, twins, or it could be separate, it doesn't matter. Then the same man sinned with one of his daughters, who bore him a son. That means he lived with his mother. Okay, the mother gave birth to two kids. Now, he sinned them with one of the daughters who gave him a son. Now, if the son, the grandson in other words, who lived with his mother's sister, it would be three sins. It's his mother's sister, his father's sister, and his own sister. Huh? Okay. A man lived with his mother. She had two daughters. That's his sisters. Those two are also his sisters. Now I lived with one of the sisters who gave birth to a son. Now, this son lived with his mother's other sister. Okay? So now, it's his mother's sister. It's also his sister.
How is it his sister? It's his aunt.
His aunt is his sister.
It's not the kid's sister.
From a common father. Huh?
Right.
You need a blackboard for, huh? So the Gemara says, how do I know with one woman that you got three sins? Three chatas. So the Gemara answered, the fact that the Torah says by your sister, separate, you get chorus, which obviously means if he did it accidentally, you get chatos. Or it can work that one woman is three sisters. It could have happened. Well, no, you have, it's not true. Alifaz, Rashi says, he lived with his mother, and the whole, it's part, in the olden times, the incest was rampant. So the guy lived with his mother, gave birth to two women, so those are his sisters. Then he lived with one of the daughters, who gave birth to a son. The son lived with his mother's sister, so it's his sister, his mother's sister, and his father's sister. A little wacko, huh? Okay, but that the Torah said, you know.
Because his father had the girl and him.
He's his father's son, and hey, it's a doozer case. You'll still see the Gemara is going to ask a similar case. So the question is, so okay, so how does Rabbi Yitzchok know that? I mean, what the Gemara is going here is back and forth, a very simple concept. There's one pasuk that Rabbi Yitzchak uses for one thing and the Chacham uses it for something else. So they're trying to figure out how does each one learn what the other one learns from the Pasuk if they're using the Pasuk for something else. So now the question is, how does Rabbi Yitzchak know that if you live with your sister, who happens to be your mother's sister, and your father's sister, so it's one person, but you got three sins, where does he learn it out from? From a Kal V'Chomer. Yeah. Even though you did one sin with one person. The Rambam has another case, not about this Gemara. The Rambam has a case, I believe it's 8. The Rambam has a scenario where you can live with one woman and be sinning 8 sexual relations which are forbidden with one woman. But he says he learned it out from a Kal V'Chomer. Why? The Gemara tells a story. The Tanya, Rabbi Kiva, we learned in a Braisa the following. Amar Rabbi Kiva. Sha'altis Ram Gamliel v'Rabbi Yeshua. Why the Gemara goes through all the details, I really don't know, but I'm sure there has to be a reason for it. Rabbi Kiva said the following statement. I once asked Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, Be'itle shal imus, they were in a butcher store in Imus. Shahochu likach behema, what was Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua doing in the butcher? They went to buy an animal, Lemishta b'neisha Ram Gamliel, for the wedding of Ram Gamliel's son. Okay, so basically Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua went to the butcher. Rabbi Kiva met them at the butcher. So what does scholars do in a butcher? They talk and learning. So Rabbi Kiva asked the following question to Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Habo ala chesek. Mamish, this case that we learned. If somebody lives with a sister, which is the sister of his father, which is the sister of his mother, like we learned the case, mahu, what's the din? Does he bring one karbon? Or does he bring three karbonas? Do we say, ein echayev al kulan ala achas? Do we say he has to only bring one karbon because it's one person? Or chayev al kul achas va achas? Or do you have to bring three karbonas? No, afterwards. But it was theoretical, so to speak. Amru lei, Sarang Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua said to him, Zulei Shemainu. This we didn't hear such a case. But I have a similar case. Avo Shemainu, but we heard another case. Abo al Chamish Noshim Nidas Behelim Echod. What happens if a man lived with 5 women who are Nida? But he didn't know that you're not allowed to live with a Nida, with a woman during the time she's a Nida. So he lived with 5 of them. So he says, how do I know? Shech, we learn, Shechayev al kol achas va'achas, that you need to bring 5 karbonas. From where do we learn it out from? V'nirim dvarim mikal v'chaymer, we learn it out from a kal v'chaymer. What's the kal v'chaymer? Uman nida shehi shem echot. What if nida, which is one sin, but the fact that it's 5 women, Chayev al kol achas va'achas, you chayev for each one, kan, Shashleish Shemus, where it's 3 names. It's your sister, your father's sister, and your mother's sister. So Allah has kama v'kama likol shekein. For sure you should get 3 sins. Meaning, then this is what Rabbi Yitzchak is answering. How do I know that if you lived with your sister, who happens to be your father's sister, and at the same time happens to be your mother's sister, that you get 3 korbanos? He says, I'll tell you where. Because we learned a din, that if a man lives with 5 women who are in Nida, he has to bring 5 kabanas, and even though it's one Nida, so here, where each woman is a different name. This is your sister, this is your father's sister, this is your mother's sister, for sure you should get 5 or 3 kabanas. What? Yeah. One, whatever. Yeah, the Gemara says, if you live with your sister, it's Karis. You can't get Karis twice. But if you did it accidentally, you have to bring 2 Karbanas. Because each Aved is separate. Or each person is separate. Therefore, the Gemara says, if you live with one woman, who happens to be your sister, your mother's sister, and your father's sister, even though it's one person, but it's three sins. And if it's three sins, you have to bring three korbanos. Obviously, you can't get killed three times. I mean, that's ridiculous. Only a cat can have nine lives. If you're killed, you're killed. That's it. What? I didn't know. I was never a cat. I've been called dog. I've been called everything, but not a cat. What happens? Do tshuva. Tshuva. No. Anytime Hashem kills you, you can do tshuva. That's the rule. Well, of our criticism is Bezdin. So sometimes you need tshuva and Yom Kippur, and sometimes a little bit of punishment, suffering. But you don't die if you do tshuva. Well, if you get caught death or Malchus, that itself is forgiving. But the Rambam writes, if a person dies, you know, after he did tshuva, tshuva takes off all the sins. Not if Bezdin kills you, that we learned already, you know, you can't do tshuva, because Bezdin doesn't know if you did tshuva. But any aveir of Kodesh or Misa B'dei Shemayim, tshuva can help. Yeah. If Bezdin kills you, it atones for your sin and you're done. No Gehenna. Right? Yeah, we have to do tshuva. Part of tshuva is tzedakah in those cases. Part of that tshuva is tzedakah. But that's Misa B'dei Shemayim, so that you can do tshuva. What? You don't die. Somebody says to you, would you rather die or suffer a little bit? No, what would you answer? Right. So it depends. Sometimes the punishment's up to Bezdin. Sometimes the punishment is up to Hashem. Sometimes the punishment Hashem does in his own ways. Like the Gemara says in Saita, if a person was supposed to get killed by a sword, right? Sometimes it'd be given over to the government. If somebody was supposed to die by choking, he would drown. Because when you drown, you choke. I mean, Hashem does things to get the person cleansed. If you do tshuva, there's lesser punishment only by Hashem. Sometimes you could do such a great level of tshuva, you might not even get any punishment. It wipes it off completely. But here the Gemara is speaking that obviously the accidental aspect. But Rabbi Yitzchak claims, but it's an interesting, because the Gemara is going to refute this Kavachem according to Rabbi Kivin the Chachamim. What Rabbi Yitzchak's Kavachem that Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Gamliel said was, if Nida is one sin, yet if you lived with five women, you have to bring five Kabbanis. Here, that is three sins, so even though it's the same person, you bring three sins. Three korbanos. The Gemara is going to ask, yeah, but here's one person, over there's five women. Maybe by five women you have to bring five korbanos because it was five different bodies. But here's the same woman, how do you know you bring three korbanos? Maybe only one. What happens? She's not a nida. She went to the mikveh. How do you know she went? Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, he's saying, no. That if your man lived with five women who were in need, that was only sin.
Oh, that was
yeah, that they were in need.
Oh, okay. I thought
I thought you were talking about the three. His sister was the guy's not going to care too much. About Nida, if he's living with his sister, it was his mother's sister, father's sister, trust me. He doesn't care too much. Huh? Yeah, that's what he has. No, then it'll be a nida. So then you have to bring a fourth korban. Right. That's what Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, no?
Yeah.
No, but yeah, that then you'd only have to bring one carbon. One concealment means no. It means one second. Let's clarify this. Helem echad. If a guy forgot, a guy didn't know it was forbidden, and he did it. Then he found out. Then he forgot again. Then he found out. Then he forgot again. Everybody says you have to bring different korbanos. Okay? If a guy lived with a nida, didn't know you're not allowed to. Then somebody tells him you're not allowed to. Right? Then he forgot again. And again lived with a nida. Then did it again, and again, and again. For sure, it's five korbanos. The Gemara goes even more. I mean, not this Gemara, but the... What happens if the man lived with the same woman? He didn't know you're not allowed to live with a nida. He lived with her. Then he found out you're not allowed to. Then he forgot and lived again with the same woman, who's a nida. Then he found out. Then he forgot again. The guy's dodo. Then he forgot again. And then he did it again and again. Everybody says one woman and one name. You have to bring as many korbanos as you did it. Here we're talking about you did all five with one concealment. So the Gemara says, because it's five different women, you have to bring five korbanos. But if it would be the same woman, over and over and over again with the same woman, and he didn't know you weren't allowed to, then he would bring only one korban. Because it's only one body. But what happens if he forgot new, with the same woman, he would also have to bring 10 korbanos. That's why in the olden times they didn't sin too much. Because if you can't pay for it, you don't sin. It depends. Whatever the, you know. A ram, a sheep. Of course. And not only was that the sheep, you had to schlep the animal to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, so if you live next door to the Beis HaMikdash, she wasn't so bad. If you lived in a different city, they didn't have trains and buses and, you know, email a cow over the email, you know what I mean? They didn't have eBay to buy a cow, you know? They used to have to schlep the animal or else buy it in Yerushalayim. And then you had to bring an offering to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And it was a different type of an animal. So people knew if it was a donation or as a sin offering. People were able to tell. So the guy was embarrassed, you know? Oh, Shalom Aleichem, what brings you here? I sinned. You know what I mean? So guys didn't sin. You know, if you can't pay for it, you don't sin. That's all. So yeah, of course it was expensive. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, V'idach, but according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva, what's wrong with this Kal V'chomer that Rabbi Yitzchok made? He said, because Mala Nida, she can't go for Mechulakim. By Nida, you know why you bring five korbanos? Because it was five different women. Here, it's one woman who's your mother, I mean, your sister, your mother's sister, and your father's sister. So maybe you only have one korban. So the Gemara says, V'idach Nami, according to Rabbi Yitzchok, you're right. Vade Kal V'chomer Pricha. This is definitely a refuted Kal V'chomer. So the question is, how can Rabbi Yitzchok learn, from where does Rabbi Yitzchok learn, that a man who sins with his sister, who is his mother's sister, and his father's sister, he has to bring three korbanos? So he says, there's an extra word, achesei of the seifa. At the end of the pasuk, there's an extra word, achesei. And because it's an extra word, it teaches us that if you live with three sisters, meaning your sister, the same woman, who happens to be your mother's sister and your father's sister, you also have to bring three korbanos. So the Gemara asks, V'idach achesed the sefer l'amalit. So why does Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva, who already derived that you have separate korbanos, so what do they do with this extra word achesed? So he says, L'chai ve'alchesed basavi v'basimei. That if you lived with your sister, the daughter of your father, who's also the daughter of your mother, meaning your whole full sister, you also get a carbon. Why? There's a rule as follows. This is a very interesting concept. In the Torah says as follows. If a man lives with his sister, who is Bas Aviv or Bas Imay. And again, every word in Torah is exact. The Torah says the following pasuk: if a man lives with his sister, who is the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother, you get karis. Okay? Now, the Torah is clearly speaking about a half-sister. The Torah says, if you live with your sister, who is the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother, meaning even a half-sister, you get karis. How do I know a whole sister you get karis? So simple logic would say, if for a half-sister you get karis, so for a whole sister, I mean a full sister, for sure you get karis, right? But there's a rule, that's a kal v'chaymer. But you can't punish somebody because of a kal v'chaymer. There's a rule in halacha, ein ancient min adin. Huh? Din is called the kal v'chaymer. No. So the Gemara says, from the extra word, achaysay, in a different pasuk, it teaches us even a whole sister you get punished for. But from the pasuk itself that deals with sisters, the Torah only speaks about a half-sister. And if you know, it's an interesting thing. In the same parsha, the Gemara says, the Torah says, if you live with your granddaughter, you get karis. The Torah doesn't even say, if you live with your daughter. So l'cheir is a kavo chaymer. If you live with your granddaughter, you get karis. With your daughter, for sure you get karis. But the Gemara says you can't. Because ein ancient min adin, you can't punish from a kavo chaymer. So we learn it out, whatever. Because no, the Gemara asks, the Pasuk says, if you live with your daughter or your granddaughter. The Pasuk says, if you live with your daughter or your granddaughter. So the Gemara asks, if the Torah says for your granddaughter you get killed, so for sure your daughter, why does the Torah even have to say if you lived with your daughter? Because to teach us, you can't punish somebody from logic. A kal v'chaymer means logic. If a half-sister gets killed, for sure a whole sister. That's logic. Punishment, you don't punish out of logic. You punish because the Torah says so. So you can't punish somebody from a kal v'chaymer. So the Gemara says, according to the Chachamim, meaning Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva, I need that extra word, achaysay, of a sister. Because in the pasuk itself of sisters, I only know about half-sisters that you get killed. Karis. How do I know you get punished for a whole sister? So I need an extra word, achaysay, to tell me that even for a whole sister you get killed. Why does the Torah not just say whole sister? Because then I would think a half-sister, you don't get killed. Maybe a whole sister. Full sister, whatever you call it. Not a half a sister. So the Torah has to say both. The Torah says for half a sister, if you live with a half sister, you get karis. And if you live with a whole sister, you also get karis. So now the question is, what does Rabbi Yitzchok do over here? So he says, Ibaisim, if you want, I'll give you two answers. If you want, you can answer, Gamret Einish Mi'azara. Because by the warning, the Torah uses both. So we learn out the punishment, not from a Kavachayma, we learn out from a punishment of a, it's called a Gzeder Shava. And he says, Ibaisim, and Nafkali, he learns it out, Mi'achesi Dereisha. From the Achesi of the first half of the Pasuk. Because the Torah says as follows. If you live with your sister, then the Torah says, the daughter of your father, the daughter of your mother. But the Torah uses the word sister at the beginning of the pasuk. That already teaches us a full sister. V'idach, and the other opinion says, Ahumi boy, I need a pasuk, l'chale kodis l'mefatim v'lasach. Now the Gemara says, this, I need that extra pasuk for something that has absolutely nothing to do with relations. There's a din in the Torah. This is a din that people should know, even though part of it's practical, part of it's not practical. Moshe Rabbeinu and the Midbar had anointing oil. They had to anoint the Kohanim and the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Torah says, you're not allowed to make a replica of it. And the Torah says, if you do, you get karis. Okay, or if somebody anoints himself with Moshe Rabbeinu's oil. What happens if a guy found Moshe Rabbeinu's oil that he anointed the Kelim with, and then he anoints himself with it? So the Torah says he gets Kodesh. Now, how do I know if I only did one of the two, I also get killed? Maybe if I only do both together, I make the oil and I anoint myself with the oil. How do I know for making it get Kodesh and for anointing it get Kodesh? So that's the extra word of La'achesei teaches me from relations we learn that even if you do one of the sins, instead of all the sins, you also get punished. Right. Because when the Torah says as follows, the Torah says you can't make a replica of the oil, meaning the exact measurements and everything. You can't smear yourself with the oil. But when the Torah speaks about punishment, the Torah says he gets karis. So I would think you only get karis if you do both. How do I know you get karis only for one? And by the way, you have the same thing by Shabbos. The Torah says don't do malach on Shabbos. Right? And if you do, if you're warned, you get stoned. If you did it intentionally, not warned, you get karis. That's what the Torah says, right? The question is, when the Torah says don't desecrate Shabbos, and there's 39 malachas, yeah? Maybe I only get killed if I do all 39. How do I know if I only do one of the 39, I also get kodesh? How do I know? The Torah says don't do work on Shabbos. Okay? And the Chachamim define work as 39 of its malachas, right? So now the question is, the Gemara asked, maybe I only get killed if I do all 39 malachas. So the Gemara says, it says no. In the beginning of Vayakel, don't light a fire on Shabbos. Right? So the Gemara says, why? It says already 39 malachas. Why does the Torah mention explicitly, don't light a fire on Shabbos? So one opinion the Gemara says, it teaches me that even if you did one of the 39, it's also desecration of Shabbos, and you also get killed. So the Gemara says, how do I know that maybe I only get killed if I make the oil and I anoint myself with the oil? How do I know I only do one? So the Gemara says, from Achaisei. What does it mean? I learn how, what does oil have to do with forbidden relations? What does one thing have to do with the next? But there's a rule. If there's something extra by a place where you don't need it, and it became an exception, you use it for all the other dinim also. That's the way the Torah works. By sisters, the Torah has an extra word, that for your sister you get kodes. Which means, even for one of the forbidden relations, you get kodes. Right? But I don't need that, because I have another pasuk teaching me that. So why does the Torah explicitly say for your sister you get kodes? To teach me that when there's a number of Avedis mentioned, even if you only did one of the Avedis, you will get the punishment of all the Avedis. You will get Kodesh. Therefore, if a guy only makes the oil, you get Kodesh. If you only anoint yourself with the oil, you also get Kodesh. Even though, where do I learn it out from? From the forbidden relations. Because over there's an extra word, and the rule in Torah is if there's an extra word there, and we learn out of din there, and I don't need it there because I know it already, I use it for something else. We say this every day in davening. Davar shayu bechlol, v'yotze min haklal l'lamed, lo l'lamed alat miyotze, ala klal kulo yotze. It teaches us for everything. So a person would get caught, say, even for that. By the way, the same din, not you don't get caught, but you're not allowed to make replicas of the Meneira. You're allowed to make replicas of various things. According to many opinions in Halacha, any metal candelabra today that has seven branches, even if it's round or square or circular, whatever. Any candelabra that has seven branches, you're not allowed to have. Huh? Yeah. You're not allowed to have it. Because it's a replica of the menorah, which had seven branches. If you make it out of wood, it doesn't matter. If you make it out of metal, it matters. Yeah, because it's not a replica. It's mini size. No, the Rambam writes that the menorah could be made out of any metal. And when the Jews were poor, the Taka didn't make it out of gold, they made it out of tin. I know, but I'm saying it's yeah, because it's not a replica. It's not the size. It's not the size. Huh? But the menorah had no size. No. Yeah, but that was only if it was gold. Or the Rambam writes later, we'll go to Hilchos Beis Abchira, the Rambam writes that all the flowers and the designs on the menorah was only if it was made out of gold. If it was made out of metal, any seven hunk of metal was good. No designs, no nothing. It didn't have designs. All the designs of the flowers and the upside down cups and all the bulbs and everything was only when the menorah was made out of gold. Otherwise not. Now it says, V'idach, what does Rabbi Yitzchak do with this stuff? So he says, Sava k'rabbalazah m'rabeshi, yodah k'rabbalazah m'rabeshi, damer abbalazah m'rabeshi, Rabbalazah said the name of Rabbeshi, komalkum shatameitah shnei lavim. Anytime in Chumash, you find two negative commandments. Like this, we had anointing the oil and smearing the oil, right? But kares echod, and one kares, because the Torah doesn't say, if you make the oil, you get kares, and if you anoint yourself, you get kares. The Torah says, don't make it, and don't anoint, and you get kares. So what do we learn out? Chalukim and karban, they're separated as far as the karban goes. So even though the Torah says one punishment of kares for both, but for karbanos they're separate. V'beisem, or another answer, le'savela k'rabbalazi, it doesn't even hold the rabbalazi, but it says another pasuk, if a man will live with a woman while she's a nida, right? So therefore, there's an extra pasuk. It says they will get kares. So you say, even for one sin, you also get kares. And what does the other opinion hold? This is very interesting halacha, by the way. How do I know that the only time a woman becomes tamei of a nida is if the blood comes out in a natural way, meaning through the vaginal area? How do I know that if you open up her stomach and you take out blood from the womb that way, how do I know that she's not a nida? And there's halacha, by the way, she wouldn't be a nida. Because it says, Isha Shayishka Vasisha Dava, if a man will live with a woman when she's a nida, Vigila Sevasa, and he uncovers the nakedness, which means the natural way of it. But if you do it through the stomach, there's no tumut, meaning, Malamida teaches us, Shayna Isha Tumeya, a woman doesn't become Tameh, Achayesi Midava Darachavasa, unless if it comes out in the normal way. A cesarean birth, Taku, not necessarily, but there is anyway. Inevitably, it comes out just from a practical thing. But this Tabdafki, she has a din of a nida. She might have a din of you. What? The bris is on the eighth day, unless if it's Shabbos. If it's Shabbos, you don't make a bris on the eighth day. Yeah. Because she has a din of a yoledes. But din of tumah is not necessarily. Huh? They did cesareans then? You know where the name cesarean comes from? Caesar was born that way. Caesar? By the way, Caesar was born that way, but it was done before Caesar. I heard Caesar was born that way. That's why it's called cesarean, because he was born that way. But again, it's the Torah says, I mean, the Gemara speaks about Yates Daifin, it's called. I mean, there's a lot of dealing with cesarean. If there's pidyon aben, if there's no pidyon. If a firstborn kid is born cesarean, there's no pidyon aben. Not only that, if the first kid is born cesarean and the second kid is not born cesarean, second kid is born natural, there's also no pidyon aben. Why? Because the Torah says like it says paterachem. But the Torah says only if it's firstborn. So the second kid, even though it was born naturally, was the first one from the womb, nevertheless is still not the firstborn. Yeah. He has to fast and he gets firstborn inheritance. Yeah. What a chilek. What happens if a woman was married before? Yeah. And she had a firstborn. Then the first husband died or divorced her. She married another man that was never married before, never had children, and together they have a child. Is it her firstborn? So then his firstborn gets for an inheritance and has to fast and Pesach, Erev Pesach. No, because it's from her. It's not her first Petarach. No, a woman, even if the child died, it didn't matter. If a woman was married to a man, she had a baby. That's it. The first husband died or divorced her. Whatever. She remarried another guy who never had kids. Together they have a kid. Not for a redemption, because it's the firstborn from the womb. This woman had a baby already. But it's firstborn for inheritance, and it's a firstborn that he has to fast ahead of Pesach. Because from the father it's a firstborn.